Begin the current topic, Masechtas Menachos Daf Nun Vav. Begin 9 lines down by the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf, which began by discussing and explaining the halacha of the previous Mishnah, which said that this violation of making the majority of Menachos chametzdik, leavened, applies to all the different processes that are in that, whether it be the kneading, or the shaping, or the baking. Each one is an individual liability. So that the Gemara says, what's the source? The Gemara says, because it already said, loy si'asa chametz, which is more general. Why does it say also, loy si'afa chametz? Because you would think you'd be only liable one for all activities. That's what it says, afia, why was that excluded? To tell you, when it's yatsa lalamid, lalamid al kol kula yatsa, to tell you that just like this, afia is a maisi yechidi and have a separate liability on it, so too all individual activities like shaping and kneading also have a separate liability on that. So on that, the Gemara had asked, but wait a second, maybe don't learn it as Dava Habol Lamed al Klal, but rather say that Leisiyasa is the Klal, Leisiyasa is the Prat, then you have Klal Prat, and Bechlal Masha Prat, maybe actually the only liability is on Afiyah and none of the other things. So that the Gemara says no, because they're Meruchakun Zemezen, they're far from each other. And you don't say a Klal Prat when they're far from each other. On that, the Gemara asks from a Braisa, and that's what we're discussing. The Braisa says, that one should slaughter a chatas where the oiler is slaughtered. So on that, it says another pasuk by the Sar of the Nasi, where it says again this idea. So the Braisa says, if only those two psukim, I actually would have thought that only Zeh toinsof and Ve'in Acher toinsof, and only the Sar Nasi I would think needs to be slaughtered north, and no other chatois. That's why you need to have a third pasuk. Oh, what's that third pasuk to say that actually all chatois are in the north? So that the Gemara had assumed in its question, saying, why would I have thought that only the Sar Nasi by the second Pasuk is in the north and no other Chatois? So the Gemara's question was, because it's a Klal and a Prat. You see, even though they're Merchak and Zemezeh, you're going to say a Klal Prat. So the Gemara says, no, it's not because Klal Prat. Actually, it really would have been a Prat at Klal. Therefore, it must have been because it says, Aysai. Aysai says, oh, only this one is going to be in the north, but no other Chatois. That's why you need a third Pasuk. But then the Gemara said, after the Braisa, okay, so we rejected the Gemara's question. But now that we learn that from Meshachat HaZachat, the third Pasuk, that Ol Chatos in the north, so then what actually do we learn from Oysoi, the exclusionary term by the Sar and the Nasi? It's not excluding other Chatos because you have a third Pasuk. So as the Gemara says, the mnemonic Nachshon, Shachat, Oif, Bepesach as a simon to say, okay, so what are we excluding? So the Gemara's first attempt said, Oysoi B'tzafen is telling you, but a different chatas of a Nasi, that of the Nasiim when by the Chanukas HaMizbeach, that there, like the Sar of Nachshon, to tell you that that didn't need to be in the north. So that's what the Gemara concluded on the top of our Amit to say that no, we would never have thought it has to be in the north because you don't learn that Shah from Dairis, a temporary thing in time, to learn that from things which apply to the future, to say that, oh, that you would think, just like we see by Smichi, you need a specific inclusion to say that the Sar of Nachshon and Old and Nassim needed to have Smicha. Therefore, without that, I would not have known it. So to hear, why would I have thought that it needs to be in the north to exclude it? So that's where the Gemara continues and says, you're right, we need a different interpretation. What is Oysai excluding? Oysai, it, when it talks about in the context of the Sar and the Nasi, that it needs to be slaughtered in the north, but it's saying it, meaning the carbon, the animal toinsof, it needs to be in the north when it's slaughtered. But the inference is excluding Ve'en HaShechet Oymid B'Tzafen. But the slaughterer, he does not need to be in the north. He could actually be in the south, the southern part of the Azara, and slaughter with a long knife to the animal that's in the north. On that, they must have this interpretation too. But Midrab Achya Nafke, we know it from a different source, that of Rab Achya. To tell like Linda Bryce, Rab Achya, I mean, he says, the Pasuk says, V'shachat Oysoi al Yerchem Ezbech Tzefayim, it talks about the Karban Ayla, says you should slaughter it on the side of the altar, on the northern part. Matam Alema, what's the teaching when it says it? So says Rab Achya, L'fisha Metzini B'mekabah, because we find, by the one who receives the blood, which is the activity in the Karban right after the slaughtering, Sha'im B'tzafen, U'mekabah B'tzafen, he has to stand in the north and receive in the north. As the Gemara teaches in a Perakez and Mukaiman in Masecht Zvachim, where it says, how do you know that a chatas needs to be in the northern part? Because it says, V'shachar es a chatas b'makam ha'ayla, you slaughter the chatas, where the oil is slaughtered, which is in the northern part of the Azar. Continues the Gemara over there in Kabbalah and all, and how do you know that receiving the blood also has to be in the north? Because it says right after that, V'lokach ha'koyim edem ha'chatas, that the kohen takes from the part of the chatas, obviously it's where the slaughtering is, which is in the north. And how do you know that the receiver himself, that kohen, needs to be in the north? Because it says, V'lokach, the word V'lokach, with the extra vav, can be read with the same letters, loy kach. He takes himself, and that is, he takes himself to the northern part. And actually, vim amad b'dar, v'kibu b'tzafen pasal. If he's standing in the south and receiving the north, it's actually invalid. So yachal avzekein, you would think the same thing would apply to slaughtering, meaning that the slaughterer, just like the receiver of the blood, has to be in the north, so too the slaughterer has to be in the north. Tamalayma isa isa jabachin, no, that's what it says. You should slaughter it in the north. Isa b'tzaf, and only the animal has to be in the north when it's slaughtered. V'la shechet tzarch liyisa b'tzaf, but the slaughterer does not have to be in the north. So you see it from that term, isa, that's excluding that the shechet doesn't have to be in the north, and not from our pasuk, but the sarab nasi of isa, that's not excluding it. So rather, the Gemara moves on to the next part of this simon, which is last one we just said was the shechet. Then we're going to if. Isa b'tzaf, and what it's saying, it, this carbon chatas of the sarab, the nasi, has to be in the north. But a bird carbon does not have to have the malika done in the northern part of the Azar. Because you would have thought to say, actually, from a kavochemer, from logic, you would think that for sure a bird carbon needs to be done in the north from an animal carbon. Why? If regarding from the flock, that there the slaughtering actually doesn't even need to be done with a kain. A zar, a non kain, could do the slaughtering of a carbon. Yet still, Kabbalah itself, and still the Torah mandates and sets that has to be done in the northern part of the Azara. So, Benayif, Shekabbalah Kain. So, regarding the slaughtering of a bird carbon, which is Malika, that the Torah says it has to be a Kain over there, so it's more stringent. Ain't it Shnikvalay Tzafen? Isn't it a Kabbalah Chaim that for sure, by a bird carbon, that it needs to be in the Tzafen in the northern part? And that's why you need to have this Pasuk of Isai by the Sav the Nasi to exclude a bird carbon. Rosh Hashanah says, no, that can't be what's being excluded. Because I would never have thought that Oif needs to be in the north to say that you need to exclude it. Why? Didn't we say it's a Kavachemer? Says, no, it's not a Kavachemer. Because Ma'ala ben Sain, what you find by an animal carbon, that yes, there it needs to be done in the north, Shekin Kavulei Kli, because it has a stringency, that it needs to be done, it's slaughtering with a vessel, with a knife. Because it says the terminology of Shechita by an animal carbon, and by shchita we find, like the pasuk says in Bereishis Chavbeis, by Avraham Avinu, by the Akedah, says Ve'yikach es ha'macheles, he took the knife lishchit es benoit to slaughter his son. So slaughtering requires a kli. So we find that that's a stringency. Maybe there is where the slaughtering needs to be done in the north. In contrast to the bird carbon, the malika, the slaughtering is done with the fingernail of the kain. So therefore, that's not as severe as an animal carbon, and maybe we would never have thought it needs to be done in the north to actually come to exclude it. So we can't say Isa is excluding Ben Life, because I would never have known it to exclude it. So rather, the Gemara comes up with a different interpretation. Isa b'tzafen, vein pesach b'tzafen. What is the pasuk telling us? This carbon, these are like chatois, by the Sar of the Nasi, needs to be slaughtered in the north. But the carbon pesach does not need to be slaughtered in the northern part of the Hazar. Now, on that is the Gemara, Pesach, Medrabalaz Ben Yaakov Nafka. The fact that Pesach does not have to be slaughtered in the north, if we learn it from somewhere else. You can't tell me that. That's what Oisai Besar Nasi is excluding. To turn like learn the Brisa. Blaz Ben Yaakov Aimer, he says, Yachl Yehe Pesach Toin Tzafin. You would think that the carbon Pesach needs to be done in the north. Vidinu. And logic would tell us that it has to be. Why? Because a Ma'ayla, if we find by the carbon Ayla, Shalai Kabbalaz Man Beshritas, it doesn't have a set permanent time when it has to be slaughtered, which is a leniency. Kavalat Tzafen, yet still the Torah mandates it has to be done in the north. So Pesach should kavalei zman l'shchadasa, with Pesach where it has a specific time that has to be slaughtered in the afternoon of the 40th of Nisan, in addition to kavalei tzafen, isn't it a kavel chaymer that for sure requires to be done in the north? Now, on that the question is, wait a second, why would you think that it needs to be, and that's what you're excluding, how are you learning it, from kavel chaymer from Ayla? What do you mean? Mal oil shekin kol. What do you mean? Oil is more stringent because it's totally burned on the mizbeach, every part of it, in contrast to Pesach. So why would you ever have thought you can't know it from a kavel chaymer from oil? So says the Gemara, no, mechatas. We would have learned it from mechatas, which also doesn't have a set time, and it's not totally burned on the mizbeach, and it needs a north, for sure, Pesach. And that's what we're coming to exclude. And that the Gemara asks, no, mal chatas shekin mechaper sechiyah bekrisis. How can you learn from chatas? It's more stringent that it atones for those which are liability if someone has a punishment of karas on his head, which you don't have by the carbon Pesach. So rather says the Gemara, you're right, me asham. We would have learned it from asham. And that the Gemara asks, mal asham shekin kachim kachim. How could you learn it from asham, which is a higher level sanctity carbon than Pesach? Pesach is kachim kalim. Asham is a kachim kachim. Says the Gemara, and moreover, Mekula Namishakin Kachakachim. Really, that question applies to all Karbanas that we try to attempt to prove from, which are in the Tzafin, which are Kachakachim, in contrast to Pesach. So therefore, says the Gemara, Pesach, I already know that it's not going to be done in the north because it's being excluded from this logic of saying that you can't learn out from these things. Where the Torah doesn't tell you it has to be done in the north. And to learn out from these things, you can't because they're Kachakachim. So how are you saying that Oif How are you saying that Eisai is excluding Pesach from being done in the north? I would never have known it to be excluded because you cannot learn it out from these things. So El Rather says to Gemara, Lo'ilam k'der k'min me'kar. Rather, we're going to say like to one of the interpretations we said before. What is Eisai B'tzafen saying when it says it has to be done in the north, they serve the Nasi? It's telling you, Ve'ena Sheikha B'tzafen. I mean, the slaughtering has to be done in the north of like these chatois, but the slaughter himself does not have to be in the north. Oh, the Kukashalach and Rabbi Achi Nafka, but this that we you had asked earlier, but we already know it from the interpretation of Rabbi Achia. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Achi lav lemute shachid betzafano odasa. Says the Gemara, actually, Rabbi Achi is not coming to say from his interpretation, where it says in the pasuk v'shachat oisal al-yarech mizbeach, that that's coming to exclude, oh, you have to slaughter it, meaning the animal has to be in the north, but that the slaughter doesn't have to be in the north. No. Actually, where do we know that the slaughter doesn't have to be in the north? Like we're saying, the pasuk Eisai by the Sar of the Nasi. That's where we learn out from. Rather, this is what Rabbi Achi was saying. Ein ha-sheichet b'tzafen. We know the slaughter does not have to be in the north. So then why are we excluding in the pasuk v'shachat Eisai yerecham esbech tzafayna, saying the animal, but not the slaughterer? We already know it from our pasuk here at the Sar of the Nasi. Rather, it's telling you an inferential idea. But the one who receives the blood does have to be in the north. And that's what Rabbi Achi is saying. That you're right, we know that the Sheikha does not have to be in the north, but we're not learning from here. That we already know from Eisai of the Nasi. But it's telling you to repeat it to say, but the Makabal has to be in the north. Now, Rashi actually asks a question. It says, what do you mean? Why didn't Rabbi Achi say that to the contrary? Eisai B'tzafen means the slaughter has to be in the north, but not the one who receives the blood doesn't have to be in the north. So that the Shita Mugubetzis Nisi Zayin brings the answer to that question. That's logical to say that the exclusionary term Veshachat is going on what's near it, where it says Veshachat Eisai, which is excluding only the animal has to be in the north, but not the slaughterer. Now, from the fact that we're only excluding Eisai, the animal versus the slaughterer, the inference is obviously, but that regarding receiving the blood, that the receiver does have to be in the north. Now, the Gemara asks, what? So you tell me that's what Rabbi Achi's teaching is telling us, that the receiver has to be in the north? But mekabel, the receiver of the blood, milokach velokach nafka, like we mentioned in passing earlier, that's from the fact that the Torah could have said lokach, instead it says velokach, which we said, now that it has a vav, you could read it loy, the vav and the lamed could be read, the word lamed and vav is loy, kach, he takes himself, that's where we know it has to be in the north. How are you saying Rabbi Achi's teaching that? Says the Gemara, lokach velokach lemashal, he doesn't understand that as an interpretation, an exposition to say that it means loikach, and therefore that he doesn't hold that's a valid source, and rather that's where Rabbi Achi is teaching that it's regarding the receiver being in the north, but the fact of that the slaughter does not have to be in the north, says the Gemara, that we know from this Sar of the Nasi, where it says, Eisai, what's that come to teach us? Eisai b'tzafen, but v'lei sheichet b'tzafen. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, which we mentioned, that and that's what the Gemara's previous daf was explaining the source for this halacha, the v'chayiv, the liability of being involved in a mincha offering that's chametz dik, that's leavened, the liability is alishasa, if someone goes ahead and needs it, v'alirichasa, and on shaping it, v'alifiyasa, and baking. As we said, we brought a source in the previous daf, each one of these have a separate liability for involvement in the mincha. Now, Amar Papa, he says, afa, whoever bakes the mincha in this leavened state, Leukestein actually gets two sets of lashes. Achas al rechasa, one for shaping it, because ultimately the baking is the conclusion of the shaping as one sees when one braids a challah and puts in the oven, it finishes its shaping. And v'achas al fiasa, and one for its baking. Averas the Gemara, vo'amr, but you said, as we quoted this price on the previous daf, on the top of Amud Beis, what do you mean? The price had said, what's the source that we say the separate liability for each thing? Because it already says in the pasuk loy siyasa chametz, which says one general term. Why is it loy siyasa chametz? So that's the brisa to tell you ma fi miyuchad shemayisichid, to tell you just like baking is distinct, that it's its own individual activity relating to this dough. V'chayyavin lebefnei atzman, there's going to be separate liability on it. So too, it's dava hayotzim leklal olam and al kal kula yotze, teaches that everything that's its own distinct activity, including kneading and shaping, they're all going to get the separate liability. On that, as the Gemara and Rav Papa, but you're saying that it's not being its own separate liability. You're saying that when you bake, there's two liabilities, that for baking and for shaping. So the Gemara, it's not difficult. Ha, the Brais of the previous Dav is talking about Da'aruchu V'afahu, where that person himself did all the activities. He shaped it and he baked it. So there's not going to be two liabilities for the baking, because he's already liable for the shaping when he shaped. So you're right, that's what the Braisa is saying. When you bake, you're only liable for the baking itself. And that's what's teaching regarding all the other activities. Ha, this halacha of Rav Papa is the Arech Chavre. It's where his friend already shaped it, v'yov leiv ofa, and then his friend gives it to him and he bakes it. Oh, so his friend was already liable for one. This guy who bakes is going to be liable for two. When he bakes it, he's going to be liable for baking and for shaping it, because like we said, the baking is the conclusion of the shaping. Now, although his friend was already liable for the shaping, he could also be liable for the shaping, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on the next daf, lehevi mechametz acha mechametz, that if someone ferments the dough and leavens it, someone who leavens it again is going to be liable also. So therefore, he could be liable for the same shaping that his friend was liable, and therefore, he's going to be liable for both. But yet, when he does all the activities, afiyah is going to be only afiyah. But when he's doing just afiyah and his friend did shaping, he could be liable for afiyah and for shaping too. Now, relating back to this discussion, the Gemara says, Tanabar, learn the Braisa, a similar theme. B'chayusha achazei dam, a firstborn animal, which has natural sanctity when it's born as a carbon, where if its blood is congested, which means the blood is getting stuck and it's going to cause a rupture. So, makiz noisei hadam, what they do, and especially in Talmudic times, this is what they used to do even for human beings, they would let the blood out so that it gives a flow that to allow the flow of the blood to continue going without congesting. So, they could let the blood go, but b'makom shei noisei by mum. That's only if you do it when you puncture the skin to get to the veins to let out the blood, only in the place where it's not going to make a blemish, because there's a biblical prohibition in making a blemish in a carbon. Now, what does that mean in a place where it's not going to make a blemish? It means in the entire body, the skin, because generally something as small as a puncture will heal. So that's not going to be a problematic blemish. But v'emekizin es adam, one's not allowed to let the blood, but makom she'isa b'mum, in the place where it would make a blemish, let's say in the animal's eye or in the animal's ear where it's not going to heal. That's the rimer. They say, no, yakazap b'makom she'isa b'mum, you could even let the blood even in the place where it would make a blemish. And the reason for that, as we'll see later on, is because it already is a blemished animal, which having congested blood is a great blemish. So that you could even do it if it's going to make a blemish, because if one lets the blood, the animal will survive. If not, it's going to die. As long, however, as one doesn't slaughter the animal now because of that blemish. Meaning, what happens is that a firstborn animal has to be brought as a carbon. If it develops a blemish, then the kohen gets to keep it for himself and use it for his own personal uses. It's not brought as a carbon. Now, there's a concern that if we let the kohen use it now in its blemished state because he blemished it by letting its blood, so then we're concerned that the kohen might end up using subterfuge and end up doing it intentionally so that they can go ahead and now keep it for themselves and not bring it as a carbon. So therefore, the chacham say, until it develops a blemish by itself, then one cannot use it because of the blemish that he's causing by letting the blood. Because a firstborn animal cannot be eaten out of the Beis HaMikdash until it develops a blemish. Shimon, he says, a third opinion, as we continue to come at Beis, he says, no, af neshchat alaysimum, one could even slaughter the animal, meaning now as a blemish, b'char, for one owns personal use, because the blemish that he did by letting the blood, by puncturing a hole in his body. Shimon Rashi explains, going according to his reasoning mentioned in Shabbos Kaf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, that Dabashein Meskaven, something that's not intentional, is permitted. Here, this Kayan is not intending to put a blemish to allow him to eat it, to slaughter it out of the base of Mikdash. He's doing it because the animal is going to die. Something dangerous is going to happen to the animal. Liver is letting blood. And yes, it's causing a blemish. Now there's a blemish. He could use it. And it's not a problem as if he did this problem because that wasn't his intention to do. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, he says, no, a fourth opinion, he says, a fill of mace. As we said, this can be fatal. Even if the animal dies, if they don't let the blood, we're not allowed to blemish the animal to let the blood. Now, actually, in the first parakim, the Gemara explains the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda, that since a person gets caught up when it comes to money, and specifically here, regarding the animal, there's going to be a great loss if the animal dies, if they don't let the blood. If we permit the kohen to do it even in a place where it's not going to cause a blemish, where it's going to heal, he might end up doing it in a place where it might cause a blemish. Now, in a place where it might cause a blemish, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Meir that says it's forbidden. Like Rabbi Meir said it. Rabbi Meir says, if it's not going to cause a blemish, go ahead and do it. Cause a blemish, you can't. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, in all situations, you can't do it, even if it's not going to cause a blemish, because once we let a person, he's going to get caught up his money and he's going to rationalize, he's going to do it even when it's going to cause a blemish, and therefore, Buddha says we never let him do it even if the animal's going to die. Now, relating to this machlekes, Amar B'chi bar Abba Amar B'yichna, it says, Hakol Maidim. All the opinions brought here in this braisa agree. Meaning, even though they disagree regarding the halacha of what's called matal mum achar mum, if the animal's already blemished, like in this situation, where the blood's congested, there's no greater blemish than that because it's going to die because of that. Still we find there's a machlekes of tanoim over here. Are you allowed to do a blemish or not? Even so, says Rabbi Yechanan, they all agree. But mechametz achar mechametz, which that's coming back to the halacha that we were discussing before, regarding if, let's say, someone assists in the leavening process of the mincha, for example, let's say someone already kneaded the dough with leavening, and then someone else comes along and shapes it, or someone bakes it after someone else shaped it, that everyone agrees, shum chayv, that all of them are going to be liable. Why? Didn't we say that there's a machlekes that they have? Look, something already has the problem, it already has a blemish, and you see the machlekes, can you go ahead and now make another blemish or not? So why does everyone agree, let's say, by being mechametz, the mincha, that yes, the second person will have a liability? Why don't you say, oh, it's already leavened, the second person is not doing anything wrong, like there are opinions that we quoted that say, oh, it already has a blemish, oh, you can make a blemish again. The reason is, because the chsif, the pasuk says in Yikra, loisiyas the chametz, and we brought these two psukim on the previous daf, it already says, don't make the mincha leavened. Now, but then it says, loisiyas the chametz, don't bake it leavened. What do you mean, don't bake it? It's already included in the category of making. Oh, to tell you, even if it was already kneaded, and even if it was already shaped, you bake it, and it was already leavened, you're still going to be chayv. And that's why everyone agrees, by mechametz, achar mechametz, even though they're machlekes with the same idea, by matal mum, bebal mum. Similarly, says Rabbi Yechanan, b'misaris. The same thing applies by castrating achar misaris, after it was already castrated, which this halacha applies even by an unconsecrated animal, as the pasuk says, "Mikra chabez ube'artzchem loisasa." One's not allowed to castrate an animal, even of a regular chulun. Now, that's what Rabbi Yechon is teaching. If, let's say, someone comes along and just cuts the testicles, but it's still hanging in the sack, and then someone else comes and totally detaches the sack, shu chayv, the second person, although the animal is already castrated, can't have children anymore, still the second one is going to be liable. Why? Because the chsiv, the pasuk says, v'yikra, says, umach, if someone goes ahead and squeezes them, v'kas, or crushes them, v'nasik, or detaches them, v'karas, or cuts them. Now, the question is, how do you understand this pasuk? Im al kairis, if for just cutting, but it's still left hanging. Hu chayiv, the one who does this, is liable for doing this to an animal. So al nasik, so for totally detaching, like koshkin, of course. Why does the pasuk have to mention that? Oh, Ella, rather, because it's teaching you to say that if someone already cut and then someone else comes and detaches, that's also going to be a liability. To tell you this same idea that although, again, in other cases, as we're going to say, there's a machlekes regarding if it's already problematic and someone then does again if there's chayiv or not. But regarding these two halachas, the psukim are telling you that this later person who is just doing the same thing and more is also going to be liable. As the Gemara says, their whole machlekes in the brayos that we brought was only about putting a blemish in an animal that's already blemished. Remeir Saba, he holds, as the pasuk says, Mayikra kol mum lo yibay. It says, any blemish one should not place in the carbon, in the bechar. Now, the word kol is a ribui, it's an inclusionary term, to tell you that even if it's already a bamum, you're not allowed to make another blemish. And therefore he says, no, if it's going to blemish the animal, you can't do it. But Rabbanan Saba, they held, the pasuk says, tamim yil ratzin, unblemished, it should be as willingness, which it says in the beginning of the pasuk, which sounds like it's saying, oh, that's a type of animal that should be unblemished, that it should be l'ratzin for you. There is where I'm warning you, kol mum l'yibay. But a balmum, which is already not l'ratzin, you already can't bring it as a carbon, then it's permitted to go ahead and make another blemish. Now, Remeir Nami asked the Gemara, haksiv tamay l'ratzin. What does he do with that pasuk? It sounds like specifically only when it's unblemished l'ratzin, then you're not allowed to make a mum. But it sounds like if it has a mum already, like it's achaz haydam, that you could go ahead and make a mum like the Rabban said. He learns the pasuk to tell you, what's it excluding? If it was always a balmum, if it was always a balmum, yeah, there Remeir agrees you're allowed to. But here we're developed the mum, then you can't go ahead and make another mum. You're talking about if it was always blemished? Diklamamahu, then it's just a tree. In other words, such an animal was never sanctified. Why would you need a pasuk to say, oh, that's the type of animal you're allowed to make a blemish? It's not sanctified, it's not kachim, it's not problematic. Obviously, it's excluding like the case that they're discussing where it was sanctified, then it developed a blemish, then you're allowed to go ahead and make another blemish, not like Remeir. Ella rather says, Gemara, you're right. Lemute psuli hamugdashim lacha pidyonim. What does Remeir learn from that pasuk? To exclude when there was a carbon that became invalidated, and then it was redeemed, it was deconsecrated onto other monies, which are then used to purchase that same carbon. And then you have these animals that are allowed to be eaten by the commoners. Now, you would have thought to say, since there are certain stringencies that still apply to these deconsecrated, invalidated carbonas, for example, as the Gemara says in the second parak in Becheiris, where although it says that tizbach, you're allowed to slaughter these animals for yourself, but it tells you, but you're not allowed to shear the wool, and you're not allowed to work with them. So therefore, so you would think also that you're also not allowed to make a blemish on them. Kamash Malan, that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that no, since it was redeemed, so then you're allowed to go ahead and put a blemish in it. But before it was redeemed, then it's going to be Aser. But it's not like the Rabbanu who say that in the case that they're discussing where it has a blemish, to say that you're allowed to go ahead and make a blemish. No, the Remeir says that they were ones not allowed to. It's only excluding it if it was already redeemed. Then that's where the Pasuk is saying you're allowed to make a blemish. Now, the Gemara asks the other way now. Rabbanu Nami, Haksiv Kalmum Lo Yibay. What do they do with Remeir's Pasuk? It says, oh, blemish, which Remeir is saying is coming to include even if it's already blemished, you're not allowed to make a mum in it, which sounds like Nalik Rabbanu, who said, no, if it's blemished, they say you're allowed to. Says the Gemara, Humi Boyle, look at the Tanya. They needed to teach a different halach as taught in the following Brisa. The Pasuk says, Kalmum Lo Yibay. Any blemish is not allowed to be in the carbon. Now, Ainli Ela Shalo Yehei Bay Mum. I would only know as to read the Pasuk when it says, Kol mum lo yiyaboy, to read it, Kol mum lo yahayaboy, that you should not go ahead and inflict the wound, the blemish, into the carbon. Minayin shalo yigrim lo yaldei acherim, how do you know you're not going to even cause it through other means, indirectly, meaning, shalo yinich betzek, you shouldn't put dough, a devela or press fig, al gabi eisen. What you'll do is, you want this bechar, you don't want to bring it as a carbon, but you're not make the blemish. So what do you do? Put dough on the ear of the animal. Kadesh Yaveh, Hakel Vietlano. A dog's going to want that press fig. It's going to jump on the animal and bite its ear to get the dough off, and then it's going to blemish the animal. How do you know you're not going to even do that? Tamalei Mekomum, that's what the Pasuk is teaching when it says, all blemish. Meaning, Amamum, it says blemish. Vamar Komum, and it says, all blemishes. To tell you, could have said Mum Lo Yiyaboy. Why does it say Komum? To include all situations, meaning even indirect. But it's not coming to say, even when it's blemished, that they say is excluded from Tamei Yilaratzin. What is Kol Mum saying? According to them, it's saying that one's not allowed to even inflict it indirectly. Now, continuing related to this discussion of actually indirectly, relating back to the topic of our parak, Amar Bami says, Heniach Sa'ar Al-Gabi Isa. Someone puts yeast on the dough, a dough of a menachis, of the flour offering that's sanctified. V'halach v'yashavle, and he leaves, and he sits down, and he leaves it like that. And it leavens by itself, meaning not in the classic way as one would knead with it or do something with it. No, he just puts on the leaven, and the yeast, and he leaves, and now it leavens by itself. And that's his Rabbami, chayav aleihu. He's going to be liable for just placing it on, k'maisa Shabbos, like doing malacha on Shabbos, meaning just like there's a liability if someone puts a piece of meat on coals on Shabbos, and it roasts by itself. So too over here, if even though he just puts it on and it does it by itself, he's going to be liable for making this mincha into chametz. Actually, the Gemara asked on Rabbi, "Umaisa Shabbos ki hagavna mi mechayev?" What do you mean? The case that you just described regarding malach on Shabbos, do you think someone actually is liable? Now, as Taisa explains, which, as the Mefarshim explained, the entirety of Taisa is not really like Rashi's mahalach. However, what Taisa says is that even though we do find something like that on Shabbos, like by putting the bread, the dough, in an oven on Shabbos, one is chayiv. So Taisa says that's because it's normal to bake like that. But in this situation, when someone just puts the entirety of the yeast on top of the dough, it's not normal for the dough to totally ferment and become chametzik like that, only on the side where he put the sa'ar on top of the dough. Now, that side itself is not even there where it could become chametz, where you put the yeast on. It's not the type to get totally chametzik. Rather, it would be what we call the category of chametz nukshah. It would be like a subpar type of chametz, which is similar to Michael Ben Drusai, which is a subpar type of a cooking. And therefore, that, as we'll see in the Gemara's answer, according to Taisus, is not really that someone would be liable. Because as the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rabbi Baba Chana," as we continue to tap on Zayin Man Alf, "Amar Rabbi Yechon," and he says, "Nich Basar Gabi Kuchan." Actually, if someone puts meat on coals on Shabbos, "Hipach Beichayev," If he flips it over, meaning he doesn't just put it down, he also flips it over, then he's liable. Lo hipach v'potter. If he just leaves it, he's actually exempt. So what are you saying, that if someone puts the yeast on the dough and he leaves, he's chayiv, kamaisa Shabbos. Kamaisa Shabbos? To the contrary. When someone just puts the meat on the coals of Shabbos and he doesn't flip it over, he's actually exempt. So what are you proving from Maisa Shabbos? Amar Rav, he says, no. My chayiv nami dekama. What did he mean that there's going to be liability? Just like by Maisa Shabbos, it means kamaisa tzlishal Shabbos. It means like the way of roasting on Shabbos. Meaning, the way Tosa explains it, the reason why we're comparing it to the roasting on Shabbos is, yes, by roasting, when you flip it over, you're going to be liable. When you don't flip it over, you're going to be pater. Why? Because every single side, if you don't flip it over, only on that one side, it's going to be kamaichal ben drisai. And you're right, that's not going to be halachically significant. That's not going to be essential to create its li. Now, in contrast, by the yeast, all you need is a kazayis of it becoming chametz stick. By putting the yeast on top of the dough, it will make it. And therefore, that will be the equivalent of tzli on Shabbos. Or as Rashi explains it, says, over here, there's going to be a liability of just putting it on. Yes, just like there's a liability on Shabbos, if someone would do a complete activity of tzli on Shabbos, which over there you have to flip it over. Why? Because over there you could differentiate between if you flipped it over or not, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. Where if one doesn't flip it over, so then yes, it's only going to be cooked from one side. Being cooked from one side is not halachically significant to be considered to be liable for bishul on Shabbos. But regarding chimutz, there's no differentiation between if it's on both sides or one side. Even if you just make one side, the kezayis of it, chametzik, that's already the liability. And that's what he meant to say. What he meant to say is that when you put it on, it means to say, even just putting on could be liable. Although there's a difference. There you have to flip it over. That's because that's for bishul on Shabbos. But the idea of just putting on is, even on Shabbos, it's just putting it on. But there you just have to flip it over. But when you flip it over, it's also by just being put on the coals. It's just that you need both sides. Here you don't need both sides, and therefore, he says, that just putting it on, one would be liable for being mechametz, the mincha, just like you find by just putting meat on coals, albeit by flipping it over, one's also going to be chayev for doing that ma'aseh Shabbos.